Shame on them for summoning a woman in your condition.
No, I've been waiting for this moment. Apparently, if they call your number, you get to stand in front of a judge. I feel like I'm on The Voice.
Seductive as that sounds, no thank you. With Singles Week just around the corner, my services are desperately needed elsewhere.
Number 23.
Oh my God!
Schitt's Creek fans, welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast where every other week we talk about a different episode of the series and we're going through everything in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me as always is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
I'm good. It feels like we haven't done this in a really long time. Maybe because we did so many in a row.
We did three in a row.
I know.
And recording a 45-minute podcast every single week is a lot.
Oh, yeah. Considering we can barely get it together to do it every other week. And the holidays were thrown in there. So,
Really put a lot on our plates.
I guess.
But yeah, it does feel like it's been a while.
Yeah. Been a while since I've been sitting in my closet.
Right.
Recording.
Yeah. But now we're back on our schedule.
Yes.
And that sort of reminds me. It's been about a year since we started this up again.
A year.
Hiatus, right?
I can't get a handle on my life because of work and COVID, which really, are we right back there? Because it feels like it.
What's really changed? It was an unplanned hiatus, but a hiatus nonetheless. And that does remind me, if people have not left us a review or star rating wherever you get the show, that would be great. We actually had our listener who left us 2 stars.
Oh.
And the comment was they were upset that we went away. Actually went back and revised it and bumped it up to 5 stars and said, thanks for coming back.
Well, so, aren't they a nice person?
Yeah, that was really, really nice.
That's really nice. Mm-hmm. Wow. 2 stars just because we went away.
Uh-huh.
So I'm glad that they are happy to see us again.
No, definitely.
That's good.
So please let us know how you feel. And, you know, I like to see those. I read those. And, you know, it makes this worthwhile. More worthwhile? Sorry.
No, it's not worthwhile to talk with your wife every other week for an hour uninterrupted.
Uninterrupted, unless our dog scratches to get in the closet,
right?
Which hasn't happened in a while.
Yeah.
But no, thank you everybody for any sort of reviews and ratings. Also, I had a conversation with someone on our Instagram, because we have an Instagram, who kind of, using context clues, I don't want this to sound creepy, figured out where we live. Not like our house.
Are they going to be sitting on our front porch when I get home tomorrow?
But saying things about Lancaster and stuff like that because they were listening to...
The Amish. The Amish is a dead giveaway to where we're located.
Yeah, and I think it was sort of also like certain words we use and stuff like that. They sort of knew where we were.
Oh.
Are
they from around here too? Should we get together with them
for dinner? From around here, no longer. Now down in Florida.
Oh.
But the person's sister went to the same school that we went to.
Oh, well, how about that?
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, we won't reveal any more information about ourselves.
Right. You're all going to have to go back through the previous episodes.
If anyone else can figure it out, we'll send you a Schitt's Creek gift.
Sure. Maybe Pelican will be spelled wrong, but we'll send it to you. Yeah, so I guess let us know if you've figured out where we live. That's creepy. Don't let us know that.
Yeah.
So we're here. We're wrapping up.
We're here in our closet.
Almost, yeah. We're almost wrapping up season 4. Close.
I know. Yeah.
Very close.
Only 2 more to go.
We're almost there. What's happening today? We're a little punchier than usual. We're talking about the 11th episode of season 4, The Rollout. We're rolling out I think that's how that... Guy Fieri. I'm just covering all my pronunciation faces.
Because you're bad at pronunciations?
Yes.
Okay.
Thankfully, on this episode, there's no guest stars or anything. But I think that's how he would start that Diners and Drives or whatever. Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
I don't know. I've never watched that. I don't even know if it's still on.
I watched enough to get the idea.
Okay.
Anyway, so this is called The Rollout, and it has nothing to do with that chef.
You're a little off task today.
A little.
Yeah.
So the original air date of this episode was April 3rd of 2018. Directed by Sturla Gunnarsson. He will close out his Schitt's Creek directing next episode. Okay. Not this one. But next episode. Mm-hmm. And this episode was written by Michael Short, who we haven't heard from since Girls' Night. He wrote Girls' Night this season. And he does, we've talked about this before, he writes 2 episodes per season. Mm-hmm. So we won't see him again until
season
Whisper
5.
Of Desire. So see you then, Mr. Short. So let's get into it. Let's talk about this episode.
All right. Roll it out.
I'm going to roll it out because Johnny is, all right, I'm going to have to try and ask you some questions about what exactly Johnny's doing here.
Okay.
Johnny's talking about a rollout.
Yeah.
As you know, as we were watching this.
Do you think I own a business?
Let's pretend that you do.
Okay.
So, and pretend you know answers to these questions. What's he doing? What is this? What's he trying
to
do?
They're just rebranding the motel.
Okay.
Like, now that he's taken over and, you know, they want to improve business. So mm-hmm. they're just trying to make it more appealing, I think. I mean, you didn't figure that out?
No.
I'm not sure what we're talking about here.
No, what I mean is, how are these products that are from David's store helping him with the rollout? It's not like he's
because
imprinting his company's logo on candles.
But if I'm staying at a hotel mm-hmm. or a motel or staying somewhere, it's nice when you go into the bathroom and there's nice products there to use instead of just a cheap generic brand. Like that's appealing to people.
Okay.
You know, like I've gone places before and they've had like a nicer sample product that I always appreciate being able to use and have access to. And
so the label doesn't just say Holiday Inn on it. It says like...
One time I went somewhere and they had like Bath and Body Works stuff.
Okay.
Like, so that was nice. Like I appreciated having something a little bit nicer than just a generic...
No, this is good to know.
Yeah, so it's just making someone stay more enjoyable,
right.
Like the flowers in the room and custom towels, like nicer towels to be able to use. So I guess, you know, like it just...
No, this is good.
So and we're just rolling out like just new things to make their motel more appealing. And it's kind of happening all at once so that they can advertise, I'm sure, that they have, you know, custom towels and... You know, your room's more cozy because it has flowers.
No, that's fine. No, and this is all stuff we could have... I like how this allows our listeners to understand that we watch these episodes in total silence and do not talk to each other. We could have figured this out while we were...
Yeah, we wait to talk about it with all of you.
Yeah. It's almost like...
Yeah, we don't discuss. We don't discuss, like, I really like this episode.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, the most we ever do is we kind of, like... Laugh at different parts, you know,
exactly.
when things happen. But
this is almost
like talk ahead.
A podcast where I could start by saying we watched the episode separately and have not talked about it before this.
Yeah,
like because we really don't. So
no.
Because
it's literally, when do we have 22 minutes to sit down and watch it? There's no time to then have a conversation after.
That's okay.
We save our conversation for right now.
No, I just appreciate that because I guess it goes to show what types of hotels I've stayed in. Because I've never been
anywhere.
Oh,
you go to trashy places. And now we don't stay in hotels.
Right.
But yeah, like in most of your traveling, it was like fun trips across the country with friends and you didn't have money. Not that I've stayed really nice places, but
I'm sure I've stayed in places that had Bath and Body Works. Ooh la la.
I'm sure I've stayed in places like that are probably not trash dumps like you did. No offense.
First of all, trash dumps don't have anything.
You stayed somewhere where there was a concrete floor.
Yeah, and the TV didn't work.
Right.
The guy actually tried to turn it on to show me that it worked, and it didn't work.
Right. I mean, I haven't had the pleasure.
I didn't stay there because my friend was afraid we would be murdered at night, so we just left.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, we're off topic.
Well, you get murdered first for once. Clearly, they were concerned about the exact same issue.
Yeah.
Yet they didn't have a choice, and they had to stay.
He was afraid we'd both be murdered.
At the same time.
Yeah. He didn't want to get murdered first or second.
Right. It was a two-for-one deal. Right. Yeah.
So that leads me into my next question.
Oh, my gosh. This is so stressful. I don't know all these answers. Go ahead.
Why would they have a pop-up store? For a motel. Right? This is just Johnny.
I don't know about that.
This is just Johnny.
A pop-up store, I think, is when you're just trying to, like, you're creating, like, a little store kind of at another location, right? I don't know, because, again,
David might have a pop-up store, but a motel would try to sell products.
So, I don't know what they would be selling.
So this joke is just that Johnny
just wants to throw around lingo that Alexis has taught him, right. I think, yeah.
And that's exactly what's happening, but he's freaking out.
Oh, because the Rose Apothecary products are late.
Right.
The order was late. He needs them for the rollout.
Right.
You know, and he talks about, you know, like they're doing like new branding and everything for the motel. So I think they're just trying to give everything a whole new look.
Yeah.
And he's upset,
but it appears that David was just doing this. It's almost like charity.
Like
here's
a fever.
These products. Yeah. But he's upset with David, and David's like, who cares? Like, it doesn't matter. You're not even paying me.
Right.
Like,
you'll get them when they're in. Exactly. You know, why is this such a big deal?
Yeah.
And then he's like, and where did you even learn the term rollout? Because he keeps throwing it around. And Alexis is like, I may have taught him.
Yeah.
And then he says, we might pull our account and everything. Like, they have that conversation about, you know, pulling their account.
Mm-hmm.
And then he refers to it, though, not even as a pop-up store. First, he says a pop-out store.
It's a pop-out store, right.
Right. And then he corrects him.
Yes. Because Alexis is just laying in bed in the background on her phone, like, casually listening to this.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's busy, you know, contacting...
Right. Alexis Rose volunteers, communications.
You know,
And then I like how she said it took him 2 weeks to learn rollout because he was like, why is he calling it a pop-out store when it's a pop-up store and everything? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now that we're 12 minutes into our episode, the opening titles come up and we can get into what's happening here because now we're talking...
Familiar face we haven't seen in a little bit.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
And not the only one this episode, too.
Yes.
Hey, I have a question about Ted. Already to sidetrack us. Does he look different? Like, was he taking time off to do any, like, does he look...
You mean in like, real life during that time? Was he taking time off and was he working on other projects? I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure we don't know. I know he was in...
Somebody knows out there because he was in there that are movie, super fans.
Yeah, he was in that movie, A Simple Favor, with Anna Kendrick and somebody else.
Okay.
He looks smoother. Like, I don't know if he's just clean shaven. I don't know if I was looking too hard. I don't know if it's been so long since I've seen him.
No, I thought he looked great. Like, he always looks. He's such a handsome guy. And,
no,
you know,
I just thought there was something different.
There was that
about...
nice evolution that happened, of course, like after she dumped him the first time and then she saw him on the motorcycle and he had really evolved. But he looked dramatically different, but he definitely looked put together. And
I was going to say he almost looked that he had reverted back a little bit to the nerdier looking Ted, but maybe I'm thinking about it.
I don't think so.
I think I'm thinking about it too much.
Nerdier looking Ted almost had like, he had bad hair and like bangs the way he would wear his hair. I don't know if he reverted that much.
I didn't know if he took time off for some other role where they were like, can you maybe not work out quite as much or something like that?
Oh, I don't know.
Like, I don't know. But again, I might be.
So... Wait, you mean now you thought he looked not as good? I'm confused. You said he looked smoother. Like,
yeah, he looked
better.
He looked more clean shaven, but he also looked a little dorkier. His hair, I thought, did look different.
In this episode?
I thought so.
I thought he looked good.
All right.
I
could be wrong. I'm wrong a lot. First of all, every one of our listeners told me I was totally wrong about that streamline thing. And that streamline? View? No.
I don't even remember anymore.
Okay.
Anyway, everybody. I can flip back. Airstream.
It was
an Airstream. I couldn't remember either. We just talked about it.
100% you were right. So again, I think people can let me know if I'm wrong. And Ted's just been lurking in the background of these episodes.
Yeah, I thought he still looked okay. I didn't know. But again,
I'm not saying he didn't look okay.
As we've said before, though, I feel like I spend all of my time writing as frantically as I can. I am listening. We're not looking and watching half the time.
Right.
Which, so then I think, you know, we don't always talk about like funny facial expressions and things like that, because we literally, I am hearing what they're saying and writing.
I'm going to pay close attention this next episode.
I can't wait.
Okay, great.
To hear what happens as a result of that. Okay. So anyway, Ted and Alexis, let's keep moving. Right. Let's keep this moving right along. We're rolling out here. So Ted and Alexis are just hanging out in her motel room.
Mm-hmm.
They are coming up with some things for the singles week. And they are planning, I guess, like almost like an adopt-a-dog event.
Yes.
Pet adoption. I guess if you're lonely and don't match up with someone on singles week, you might want to match up with a dog.
You know what? When we hear what else is happening, this makes total sense.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot going on. There's a lot planned for the singles week. And each event seems more bizarre than the last. So this idea that people would adopt puppies or cats or whatever
maybe you get together with somebody and that's like the first step, right? They always say you adopt pets first.
First, you
get a plant, then you get a pet, and then you have children.
I don't think the best thing to do is the day you meet someone to adopt an animal together.
No, I know. I was kind of saying that jokingly.
No, I know.
But yeah, but anyway, she is really looking for happy dogs, not dogs that look depressed, I guess, about being homeless.
The Sarah
McLachlan
dogs?
Shelter animals? I don't know.
Right. No, and there is one particular dog that she's very interested in, but sorry, Heather's already claimed that dog.
Oh, that was, Heather's already adopting that one. He was cute. He was a cute little dog.
No, I understand that, but listen, if Heather's taken him, don't bring the picture. I'm gonna say
maybe
this is
he just
on
got
Ted.
Mixed in the pile. This was like a last minute decision.
All right.
Let's say that.
All right.
But that one was already spoken for, and and it's because Heather had decided.
It is great when Alexa said, "I love that for her getting this dog."
Yeah. As they're chatting and just talking about these dogs, Moira shows up.
It's interrupted by Moira calling them lovely little freaks.
I know. Yeah, that was weird.
That's a very bizarre Moira-ism, because it doesn't sound like a Moira-ism, but it's all like her saying that they're meeting face-to-face.
Sitting down face-to-face
in today's digital age where they could do all of this over the phone, text, email, whatever.
Yes.
I like how she says that they're acting like a time before their time.
Right,
which is really nice. Like, I guess
Moira, that's what it's making them freaks.
No, definitely.
The fact that they're sitting down and talking
instead
of just communicating through the phone or email or whatever.
And I don't think Moira quite understands or knows how to deal with this, especially last time because of what David told her about, you know, Ted and Alexis and everything like that.
Yeah.
I think she just feels a little bit uncomfortable, but it also is kind of like trying to keep them on task. Like, maybe, you know, this isn't not the best way to spend your time. She talks to Alexis about that a little bit.
Right.
But this kind of breaks it up and Ted's going to go then.
Yeah. Well, and they talked about there's a volunteer meeting coming up. And Alexis said to Ted, like, oh, you don't really need to come to that. We've kind of taken care of everything we needed to do here. And Ted clearly looks kind of upset about the fact that was one, you know, I did see his facial expression there. And he sort of looks a little bit disappointed when she says that he doesn't have really a need to come to the volunteer meeting.
Right, yes. Do you look upset or just different? Like he took time off to make a movie?
He looked upset to me because he didn't look different at all from the beginning.
Right.
If anything, I thought he looked extra good.
I am not saying that he looked worse. I don't understand how you're interpreting this.
I don't know.
So when I say someone looks more nerdy, I guess that is a negative.
I didn't think he looked nerdy,
Moving
past that.
Yes.
We get
some ideas of what is happening at this.
Well, yeah, Moira's feeling a little stressed out because she heard the curling club.
Mm-hmm.
What's a curling club?
I'm assuming...
Is that where they go and do that curling sport like in the Olympics?
Yes. I mean, the only other option would be a hair curling.
Well, no, I didn't.
No, I am assuming that there was like a giant curling rink somewhere.
I'm wondering if we're... I have a feeling...
Wait.
What? Really? I don't know.
That's a popular Canadian... Bless you.
Excuse me.
That's a popular Canadian sport. Okay. And I guess almost like a recreational sport where you can go on dates to the curling rink.
Are you making this up?
No, I don't. I might be, but...
The way you're saying it sounds like you're just grasping.
Are you looking this up in real time?
I am, just because I wish I would have thought to do it. Because I didn't know. It would make sense that they might have, a club specifically for that. But then I was like, well, is it like a club where you go to like hang out and drink?
I can't believe this.
And like
this,
a bar.
I thought this was going to be one of our quickest episodes to get through.
All right.
We are barely into
talking.
This. No, it's, I think I have never heard curling referred to as anything other than that sport.
Right. So I didn't know. That's what I initially thought of. But now, no, like Airstream, like we
right.
weren't,
and
you know.
And when they're talking about venue space, that's when I kind of thought it might be something big. And I know it sounds dumb and I could be totally wrong. And this is where people can please correct us. I'm wondering if it is something like just going bowling, where you can just go. I mean, they have things where you throw axes now. So
true.
It wouldn't surprise me if you can, like, go on a date and you go
and when
and
I
do
just
this.
Did a very quick search, there are apparently many near us, which is
no
why,
way.
Too.
What?
I feel like I've never. But again, we're not revealing where we live. So
we could be in Canada and know nothing about where
we
live.
Yeah, everybody knows we're not there because we know nothing. Okay, so that's
kind of what
fine.
I thought.
I had thought that, but then I was like, maybe we're off base with that. So
no,
that's,
yeah,
as we're off
just,
base with a lot of things.
I just figured size-wise, it might be a nice place to start or to hold this whole thing.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's almost like a, this is going to sound so dumb, like a professional venue where they hold like hockey games, but then basketball games where they can cover the floor.
Okay.
But it's still a big venue and they don't have to walk around on ice and stuff like that.
So they could set up for curling events, but then they can also use that space for alternate activities. Like a Sloppy Joe eat-a-thon.
Right. I was going to say, I think we're burying some of the hilarious things that are happening. A Sloppy Joe eat-a-thon. And I love how...
If I'm a single, I totally want to go eat Sloppy
this
Joe's.
This is so weird.
To meet others.
Right.
That's great.
Yes. This is a diverse group of just like activities.
An eat-a-thon. Ew. That's
so Sloppy Joe eat-a-thon.
I don't really love Sloppy Joes. I know they're your jam.
Sure.
They're not, they're all right, but I wouldn't certainly pick that.
No, that's fine.
But yeah, an eat-a-thon. Like, it just makes me think of like when the people do those like hot dog contests, where they're just...
No, or you're like shoving your face in a pie and stuff like that. Like, that sounds crazy.
Yeah.
And also to do that and then, I don't know, push a broom a lot on ice, that doesn't... These things don't make sense. And I also like how she refers to... she talks about the canine auction. Like, okay, we're done with your canine auction.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about the Sloppy Joe eat-a-thon.
But at any rate, that event, they've canceled use of their space. So they have to now figure out how to manage that and find another venue to be able to hold that.
And Moira can't really help today. She has jury duty.
She's been called to jury duty.
Which, are you called to jury duty an hour before it starts or something
in
Schitt's Creek?
I'm sure she's
known
about it for quite some time.
Okay.
But if the event just got canceled,
right.
clearly she has a conflict and she can't handle the... I'm wondering if there's anything she's handling for this singles week. I'm pretty sure she's probably not doing anything but showing up.
I have a feeling that Alexis is doing everything and Moira's just bothering her.
Yeah.
So now let's go to the motel office.
Well, wait, there was one other thing that I thought was kind of cute, the
go
way
ahead.
She said it. You know, because she said, I guess at some point they talked about like spending less time with Ted. Or, and she said, well, we're done planning.
Right.
And she kind of paused there, you know, like the little like, you know, it wasn't just like we're done. But, you know, I think we still see that little hopefulness in her, you know, in Alexis that she doesn't want to say they're over.
Right.
So now we can go to the motel office with Stevie and Johnny.
So let's get to our B plot, A plot. I don't know if this is the main plot of the episode. I don't know if this is.
It's called the rollout, so I feel like this should be the main.
Yeah, the main. Everything
plot.
Seems to, strangely enough, be given equal weight. Mm-hmm. Like we're in that courtroom a lot. We are, you know, hanging out with Alexis quite a bit, mm-hmm. and this is something that's also happening that involves mm-hmm. some characters
right.
because Stevie is rolling out the products.
Yes.
She's got them all lined up.
She's everything all out on the counter in the motel office.
Right.
And when Johnny comes in, you know, he's looking at everything that's there. And she, now that he was there, she wanted to go home.
Yes.
Because she revealed she has a horrible rash.
All the way up both arms. Yeah.
And
I love how she didn't piece it together because he's like, well, wait, you've been rubbing that product on your arms since I walked in. Was this before or after this? And she kind of isn't sure. She's
right.
like, before? No, wait, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and she said, you know, she's just been like sampling all the products.
Yes.
And Johnny is immediately alarmed that the lotion from David is giving her this rash.
I do like how he brings up, he's like, you don't know what's in these natural products. Like, right. I don't think there's a lot of quality control in what David's bringing into his store. So you don't know. Mm. But they come to the conclusion that the lotion is the culprit here,
yes.
and now they need to go talk to David about this.
Mm-hmm.
But first, let's go to, wait, so...
We're at the town hall.
That's
the volunteer meeting.
All right.
Yes.
I didn't know quite where we were, but again, this is because we don't look at the screen while we're watching this.
No.
All right. So there are a lot of volunteers.
There are quite a few volunteers, yeah. Lots mm-hmm. of faces that we maybe necessarily haven't seen.
A lot of young people.
Yep,
and I just don't know.
I love how Alexis kind of calls the meeting to order and everything. She said this was going to be a really fun week, but now it's less than ideal.
Right.
Because she explains to them they've lost the curling club as their mm-hmm. venue, so they need to figure out another place for their Sloppy Joe eat-a-thon.
Yep. Oh, she also explains to them that yes, the t-shirts are supposed to be tight.
Right.
It's singles week. Because I love how, I guess she's gotten multiple emails about that from these volunteers.
And she's not wearing one. She has a super cute dress on in this episode. I love her look in this episode a lot.
She's in charge. She doesn't have to wear one.
She's
behind the scenes. Well, not
she
really.
She wears one
we'd
later.
See what's going
but,
on. So she really dumps it on these poor volunteers that they need a new venue. But you know what? That sigh. I don't know if the microphone picked up that long sigh from you.
They didn't really see like the gentle eye roll.
Nope.
Yeah.
But Mutt is back. He's in the back of the room.
And he, of course, speaks up that he might have a place.
I don't want to get too far ahead with what Mutt's doing in this episode, but what is he, when he is drinking that wine and I don't know if you looked at the screen. Every gulp of this wine, he winces.
No.
He gnashes his teeth.
Well, it's pine cone wine.
I know, but
I'm sure it's terrible.
But he's doing everything. Every time he takes a drink, it is the craziest response.
All right. Well, we didn't quite get there yet.
Yes.
But,
But he volunteers his barn.
Well, I love how he says, I like how she says, too, about... Let's take a hot five.
Yeah.
Basically so that she can go and talk to him.
Right.
So then this is when she kind of approaches him. They're still in the town hall at this point having a conversation. Everybody's kind of breaking around them.
It's very weird because he almost like shames her for not watching his barn for the past, year plus? How long has he been picking pine cones?
I don't know.
Forever.
Well, and
he
was gone for a long time. And later on, we find that he and Tallahassee, Tennessee.
Yep. I almost called her Dakota.
Oh.
But yeah.
No, she was in an Airstream.
Okay.
But talks about the fact that they basically like called it quits the day they got there.
Yeah.
So he just hung around, I guess, for a while or went and did other things. It didn't,
right.
You know, but yeah, he basically said, you know, I was supposed to have a friend looking after the place, but, you know, they must have forgotten. And she said, well, it didn't really slip my mind. I just didn't go.
Right. Yes.
He said he cleared out a family of raccoons.
Sure.
And she talked about plants, and he said, you know, there's a lot of dead plants.
They're really dead. Like, yeah. There's no bringing those plants back.
Yeah. So basically, she didn't do anything to take care of that place while he was gone.
No. And I don't know. He seems a little more
mellow.
Yeah. Like,
he's always mellow, though.
Mellow or even more chipper. I know those might be two very different.
Yeah, he said about he needed to come back because he was going to have a baby brother, which just sounded totally... I mean, I know it's his brother, but it sounded totally funny and ridiculous for him to even put it that way.
Yeah. But, it's almost like he took... And again, I talked about Ted taking time off. It's almost like he took so much time off, he forgot what Mutt was really like. Like, he came back and just didn't remember what this character is. Yeah. That's how I felt watching him in this episode. It was kind of funny, and strangely enough... I kind of like this Mutt better than the old Mutt.
I kind of think that's probably what he was probably, it was supposed to be like an evolution. Like he came back and everything was super mellow and he was almost a little more mellow. And
yeah, he doesn't seem as standoffish or like as, I don't want to say brooding, but like mysterious. He was very mysterious before. And now he talks about that pine cone trip for, I don't know, 20 minutes straight in this episode. Uh-huh. So he's really open to talking.
Yeah.
But we'll get there.
Yeah. Because we have to go to jury duty first.
Right, right. But also, I think he should just turn his barn into a permanent party space. Like, I think what he should do.
Yeah.
And whatever, throw a mattress in the corner. He can sleep there.
Gosh.
That could be his job.
Okay.
Entertainer in Schitt's Creek.
Okay.
You know. But no, let's go to jury duty.
And surprise, surprise, Jocelyn's there.
Yep.
She got called for jury duty too. What are the chances? I've never been to jury duty and had a friend.
No.
It still worked out perfectly.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Right. But also, I guess this is probably in Elmdale. You know, we're never told where it is, so why would I? I'm not going to.
Yeah, I don't think they specify, but I would assume.
Yeah, it's a pretty big place.
Yeah, but we find out as they were talking, Jocelyn's really surprised to see Moira.
Right.
Because clearly
she's getting called for jury duty.
She keeps getting called. She missed out on the luau luncheon for the Jazzy Gals and the seafood potluck because they all had jury duty
every
time. One
was a hung jury. Yes. Yeah. It was a whole thing. So Jocelyn... I hate to bring up so many issues with... So, in one of the Facebook groups, somebody talked about early Jocelyn creepily talking about how her students were into her. You remember that? A long time ago?
Yeah.
And they mentioned, they were like, oh, I didn't like this early Jocelyn. I like the late Jocelyn. And I had to chime in and be like, I don't like the late Jocelyn. I like the more put together.
Yeah.
And many people said that they... agreed that they felt the same way.
I just felt like her character just got so like ditzy and you know, and I've said
ditzy
that a lot.
And, weirdly
and I talked about that right from the beginning. Like I liked her when she was still like sassy and kind of smart, but like I just liked when she was a little bit more put together.
Right.
Instead of she always seems like she is literally like unraveling and barely hanging on.
Yes.
Especially like when she has, you know,
I understand
as we move into the last few
seasons. That she's pregnant and everything like that, but it almost seems like it's not the same character, and it just, and we've talked about this before, so I don't want to talk about it too much, but I just found that interesting how in the comments it was almost like people were totally split right down the middle.
Yeah, it's interesting. I would love to know why they took her character from starting out that way and like kind of just like that, like it didn't even see, like,
there was
I don't
no
know.
Weird evolution. It was just like between season one and two, this is what happened to her character. Because, and I'm just bothered by this, like, because the old Jocelyn that we knew in season one would never, like, be so excited to stand up in front of a judge because it would be like she's on The Voice.
The Voice.
I was like, what a. I hate to criticize the show or the writing or anything, but that's such a bad line for this character.
Oh.
And what this character is. Like, that's something Roland would say. Roland, 100%. And I feel like they're almost like the same person now. And that's what I think I don't like about Jocelyn.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, she is so excited. Well, I guess they needed to use that to show how excited and eager and anxious. It seems like she's never made it to a jury before.
Right.
She's been maybe called in the past, but has never actually been on a jury, and she is super excited about that.
Sit out in the room and you don't get to go into the
Yeah. So feeling like she's on The Voice and she's super, super excited for this. But yes, they do both get called. Jocelyn's juror number 23, Moira's number 75. So as they go down the list, I just wrote down the numbers.
Boy, okay.
But they do, both of them get called to go in to be, you know,
potential
interrogated as potential jury members. I don't know what the word is, like questioned. What is, I don't know what word
interviewed. I'm going to say interviewed.
Yeah, that sounds
interrogated
better.
Sounds pretty
well, right.
Negative.
That didn't sound like the right word. But yeah, I guess just interviewed.
All right. Well, now let's go to Rose Apothecary because that's happening.
Yeah.
Patrick's at a business seminar or whatever. David wasn't listening.
Yeah, I don't really know because I wasn't really listening. But anyway, when Johnny and Stevie get there, they walk into the store. There's no one in the store, like no customers and also no employees. So he shows up from the back room.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and Johnny's like, anybody could just walk in here and steal things. Yep. Like there's no one here.
Well, there's a reason why David's not there. He's freaking out in the back because he's got that same rash
on his
all over his face.
Yes.
And
he looks like the Phantom of the Opera.
The Opera, yes. I do like, I like everything Johnny's doing here, how he's continuously telling Stevie to show David her arms.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I already showed him my arms. He's like, I don't want to see her arms again. And how it ends when he's like, stop touching your face. And then David just has to poke himself in the face a couple times.
Yeah.
Because they're both freaking out because they don't know where this came from.
Well,
and
David doesn't think it's
right.
coming from the products, obviously. He said, I've used this religiously for months.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, but wait, this is a brand new batch. They just
got
a new batch, which
this
then
is one
makes
of his
him a little
biggest
alarmed.
Vendors.
Yes, and biggest. This is one of their biggest selling products as well.
They already sold, I think you said, half of it or something like that.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
A large portion of it. Yeah, because, Johnny says, stop touching your face. And then David says back to him, stop touching your face.
It's a nice interaction. It's a
very
nice
funny.
Freak out, kind of by all involved, except for Stevie. Stevie
just wants to cover her arms and leave.
Right, yeah. She just wants to get the day off of work and go home.
Well, right, don't we all?
That's all she's hoping for. But no, now Johnny's really, really upset and is like, you better get that vendor on the phone. And, everything's... Nothing's going well for any of these people at this point.
Right.
So now let's go, oh boy, Mutt's barn.
Yeah.
And it looks stormy outside.
Oh, it is stormy.
I love the...
Of course, that's like the throwback to when they were out and it started raining and they ran for cover in his barn.
I just always like this because they use the same shots, the same establishing shots, but I just love how, and I don't want to say phony or fake because it doesn't look bad. But it just looks like, can we just put dark clouds in the background of this? Because it shows it with the barn and then it shows it with the vet's office later. And it just looks, there's something phony about it. But I really like the way that it looks and establishes what's going on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Now this is when Ted gives us.
The barn does look a little.
Ted, sorry, Mutt. Go ahead.
The barn does look a little unkept.
Yeah.
You know.
It does. It's. Because last time we saw it, it's like there's no lights.
Yeah, obviously he's just kind of returning to it, and he was living in it. But yeah, it definitely looks a little different than
it
did in previous seasons.
It looks like someone hasn't lived there in a year.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I like how in the one shot, I guess it's later on when we cut back to them, how he just has a bucket in the background that's catching the dripping water.
Yeah. And this is where they kind of talk about, his pinecone journey.
Yeah.
He mentions about how Tallahassee and Tennessee, they basically called things off the day they arrived there.
Mm-hmm.
And she married Moonshine, who was in charge of the Pinecone Farm, I guess.
I
forget what he said. He was, Moonshine was in charge.
And I can't remember if Moonshine was mentioned when they originally left.
I don't think
so.
No.
Okay.
No.
So this is
No, Moonshine seemed new for me.
Moonshine's also got a daughter.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
I guess Moonshine's. Living his best life.
I guess so.
On a pinecone farm.
Yeah.
And
maybe it's lovely. We could try that.
Maybe it is.
Maybe there's a pinecone farm near us.
It's, I'm not
next
doing
to
that.
The curling
I'll
club.
Go curling. I don't want to pick pine cones.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
But she's sappy. They're sticky.
I'm sure they'll give you gloves.
Yeah. I would need them. Yeah,
but this almost sounds like a cult or something.
Oh,
like,
totally.
The idea that he picked... Mutt was very proud of himself that he picked 700 pine cones in a day And even Moonshine's daughter said that that was the most they've ever seen. And it earned him 2 showers that week.
Oh, it totally sounded like a cult.
This is a total cult.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounded a little fishy.
And again, like, and, you know, again, he offers her pine cone wine.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how that's made. It's probably full of sap.
With the sap. I don't know.
I don't know. Probably tastes like wood and sap.
It's gross.
And she's like, all right, I'll just have one, because she's...
She said she has 50 zillion things to do.
Right, yes. Yeah. And I also think that she doesn't want to get stuck in this place with mud. Like, uh-huh. She knows what could possibly happen.
Yeah.
But it is raining outside. And so that's it. So they settle in with some pinecone wine. But let's go back to the courthouse.
To the courthouse.
Because...
They're starting to explain what the trial would be for. It would be for like a misdemeanor embezzlement kind of situation.
Exactly.
Which, yes. Of course, Jocelyn says, Moira, this sounds like exactly what happened to your family.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So you would need to recuse yourself. I think that's the right word. Recuse yourself.
Sure. I didn't even know if it was interview, interrogate, or question. Okay. So we'll go with recuse.
Anyway, so good. Moira probably should not serve on this jury.
Oh, of course not. It's a conflict of interest.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yes. So that's sort of, I don't want to say it's all that happens here, but that's kind of all that happens.
Yeah, it was just a
right
very
here.
Quick little yep. little glimpse.
Yeah. So now let's go back to the office where Roland comes in. When did we last see Roland? Seems like a long time.
Yeah, maybe.
Since we've seen him.
Yeah.
We've heard about him. He's always like, oh, Roland's doing this,
right.
Or Roland's working the motel today, or I had to put Roland at the desk.
Yeah.
So,
but Johnny and Stevie are there. They're packing up the products and everything,
right.
Because
yes.
obviously they can't use them now for the rollout. Mm-hmm. They're concerned.
Yeah.
And Roland is the voice of reason.
First he's looking for an overtime sheet.
Right.
He filled up his timesheet. Is that looking for a separate overtime
Well, right, and
sheet.
The only reason he needs the overtime sheet is because it took him his entire workday to fill out his regular
right,
time
yes,
sheet.
Yes, exactly.
So now he needs to have overtime.
Yep.
But he very quickly realizes, I guess they explain that they're packing things up because it gave Stevie a rash.
Yes. Yeah.
And Roland immediately recognizes and notices about the poison oak mm-hmm. that is included in the flower arrangements
right.
that they were using for the rollout.
Yes. But it's very matter of fact. Like, he doesn't say like, oh, this is the cause of your issue or
right.
anything like that. It really is like, why would you put
poison oak
in
there?
Here?
Yeah. You know, and then he said, you know, they were like, well, where did these come from?
Right.
And Johnny mentioned that flowers are expensive. So instead of working with a local, florist.
Right.
He decided that he would just go out back and pick some really nice flowers and poisonous plants.
Yes.
Basically.
And I had to look.
It was cheaper.
I had to look at poison oak thinking that it was going to be some sort of
beautiful. Yeah.
Look at that.
He just wanted greenery to
I
go
guess he,
along with
no,
them.
No, I'm sure he just
it,
wanted
yeah.
color, but I expected something better, something nicer.
Yeah,
I guess,
I'm not great with any of the poisons.
I can't identify.
I could roll
anything.
In poison
nope.
ivy and not. No.
I used to get poison ivy so bad as a kid that like my eyes would swell shut
yeah.
if it got on my face. Mm-hmm. I still don't know what poison ivy looks like.
Like, whenever they say, you know, like, I know it's leaves of three. I know it has, like, a shiny appearance. I know it might be, like, a little bit reddish, I think.
No, because I
on
think
the leaves,
that's,
but
I don't think that's right. Cause
I thought it was.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Again,
but
I should stop saying things on this podcast. Because people are like, you're wrong about everything. I'm sure Rick Hughes is wrong. Like,
I don't know. But, yeah, I don't. Anytime I go out, if I look at leaves that there's three of them, it could be poison ivy. It's probably not. I wouldn't know. And then I also think that poison ivy, somebody told me one time, it almost can grow and look viney around trees,
like trees
I believe.
And stuff, sure.
But like not necessarily green.
Okay,
I don't think.
Right.
So I don't, like, because somebody said one time, oh, I think they're, you know, we were somewhere where there were kids and everything else. And someone's like, oh, I think they're going to get into poison. And I'm like looking at, like, poison ivy, like around
right.
a tree. And I was like, I don't, that's poison ivy.
I don't know. Because growing up, I lived in an area where there was poison ivy, poison oak, poison sumac.
Yeah.
Isn't
sumac the red flowers?
Don't know.
I don't know. I remember my grandfather talking about that when we would walk when we were growing up.
All right.
I remember him talking about poison sumac. So I might know what that one is.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
Welcome back to our podcast, Poison Plants.
Right, yeah.
And how to misidentify
But
all
I guess
of them.
We're just saying we could totally do what Johnny did.
Yes.
And think that, and let's think, how often was Johnny hanging out in the woods?
No.
Never.
Exactly.
Like, he wouldn't have known poison oak from anything else.
Right. I just, I think that, I don't want to say Johnny's not to blame because he's the only one to blame.
Right.
But, you know.
It was an innocent mistake, definitely.
Right. Yeah.
And he didn't have an issue because he was wearing gardening gloves.
Right.
When he went out and took care of it.
Yes.
So that's why he didn't have any sort of issue.
And Stevie at this point really lets him know, no, you have to tell David.
Right.
Like,
someone has to tell David. He was hoping Stevie would go do it.
Yeah. Stevie's like, I'm going home. I'm out of this episode. Goodbye.
Yeah.
You're responsible for this now. Yeah.
Yep.
And I guess Roland leaves too because he's gone.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to say Moira's being interrogated on the stand.
Interrogated, yeah.
Right.
Not interrogated, whatever.
Right. And they're really asking her if there's any reason why she shouldn't serve.
Right.
And why
is
she talking
about... And they don't
even
make you go on a stand. You don't even go sit up there. They talk to you like at your little... Like they bring you in and talk to you at... It's not like they bring you up next to the judge and have a conversation with you.
Were you upset by that? Or did you
No, I wasn't upset by it, but
it
I just sort of like remembered like, oh, well, when I was in a jury and they did call us to like question and pick jurors.
Wait, you were interrogated?
I wasn't interrogated. I was at the end of the line and it never got to me.
Oh, okay. I never made it into the courtroom.
Yeah. The last time I was called for jury duty, I did. But you just all sit in like chairs, you know, and they just ask you questions. But no, it made it more fun, obviously, because, you know, she was like right up there in the box and everything. And she was excused very quickly.
Very. Yes. I mean, she does say that at one point Jimmy Smits stole her heart in some stage production.
Yeah. And she had some very choice words for the.
She calls him a prick.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I don't think you could. I love that. After he says she's dismissed, she asks if she can approach the bench. He's like, no, go away. You're done.
Right.
And then on her way out,
she tries to tell Jocelyn, to make sure that she,
make sure that he pays, basically.
Right. To every extent of the law.
Right. You
got to
make
everything.
Sure you take this guy down.
Yes.
But loud enough where everyone can hear her.
And they watched her.
Right.
Yeah. Have that conversation.
Yeah.
So then, of course... Jocelyn was dismissed as well. She was super unhappy.
Right.
We heard her drop an F-bomb
Almost.
As she left.
I think she censored herself.
It was like under her breath, basically. And she was like, it was the farthest she'd ever gotten. She was so excited.
Again.
And
like
Moira,
the voice.
Of course, ruins it for her.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a funny scene.
So now let's go back to Mutt's leaky barn.
Leaky barn.
And Alexis and Mutt are sort of talking about, you know, I guess they're talking about relationships and reflecting on stuff.
Yeah.
And they kind of, like, I like how even Mutt is like, well, you know what? It seems like we might be the problem.
Well,
like,
right.
We're the constant.
Yeah, because he was like, it's interesting, there's singles week, we're singles, Yeah. Alexis also at the beginning of that conversation says she's a college graduate now.
No, she lets him know. Yeah.
He's and
like,
getting a
I
certificate
picked 700
is a,
pine cones.
Is a graduate? I know we keep going back to
whatever.
This. I don't know.
He's
is never, a certificate a degree?
No.
Okay.
He's never going to find out, though. She can
I
tell
guess.
Him whatever.
True.
Doesn't
okay.
matter. She should have started by saying, I am a high school graduate and also a college graduate.
Yeah.
Filling in those gaps since he's been out of town, I guess. I forgot. He's been away forever.
I know.
Like, she really did go through high school and college and start her own
for
business.
For a few months in college. For a few months.
Yeah. She's been on dating apps. There's been a lot
happening. Lot has happened in her life. Ran into old friends.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
This is where Mutt, tries to make a move.
Yeah. Leans in. And she stops his advances.
Yep.
Pretty quickly.
I did think it was a great line when he does say, "You were quite the heartbreaker." And she says, "That's not something I'm
proud not of super now. Proud of yeah. that." Yeah. Yeah.
And Mutt, as I wrote down in my notes, he's having a real hard time with this wine through this whole scene. Like, I could not. Like we said, we don't really watch much. Alexis is talking the whole time. Uh-huh. I could not take my eyes off of Mutt turning to the camera every time and
cringing
and wincing.
It's like what I do when I drink red wine.
Right. Yes. Yeah. He's like doing all the acting like, he can possibly do like in this.
The bitterest. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and really it's, she's like, I got to go. There's something I got to take.
Well, but they haven't. No, oh, yeah. It's really right. based yeah. on words that he says to mm-hmm. her that she says, I need to leave. I have something that I need to do. Because he just talks about kind of like how freeing it was that he has broke things off. And he says, mm-hmm. you know, who knows where I'd be if I didn't tell Tallahassee, Tennessee. I like calling her both names.
Right.
If I didn't tell her like where I was at and how I was feeling mm-hmm. and if we hadn't have broken things off, he was kind of like, who knows where I would be if I hadn't been right. honest
yes.
and spoke my truth.
Right. And Alexis is like, what's the opposite of that? I guess I should do that.
Well, no. I
no,
mean, it
I know
was
what
just,
you're saying.
Yeah. Like, yeah. who knows where I would be if I didn't tell how I was feeling.
Right. No, of course.
And that is kind
I just
of
think
like
it's
a
funny.
Light bulb moment.
Yes. I just think it's funny how he's like, what if I didn't tell her that we shouldn't be together? And so she's like, oh, yeah. What if I don't do the opposite of
or
that
what if,
for
yeah.
someone
yeah.
else?
But yeah, so Alexis leaves. She says she has something to go do.
Right. Yes.
But so, we don't get to follow her to where she's going just
not
yet.
Not yet. No.
They're keeping us in suspense, even though we kind of already know what she's going to do. But we go to mm-hmm. Rose Apothecary.
She's
going to
go tell them. We need this skating rink.
Curling.
Curling rink.
Yeah. But no, we yes. go to Rose Apothecary. David's on the phone when Johnny arrives mm-hmm. With his vendor.
He's kind of yelling at the vendor a little bit.
Yeah, not...
Not enough to... I'm going to say not enough to lose this vendor, but...
Yeah.
He's, you know, pretty upset.
Yeah, to which he obviously needs to excuse himself for a minute in right. the conversation because Johnny needs to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny kind of beats around the bush a little bit, around the poison oak bush.
He sure does.
But then he eventually, because he doesn't want to admit it, eventually admits to David that it was poison oak and that's
yeah
why they all have this rash. And, uh-huh. you know, and he was like, I didn't think you'd stick your face in the flowers, basically. to which then David, of course, is super upset because he went all Gordon Ramsay on the vendor,
mm-hmm.
You know, and told her that her product was like a jar of Ebola. I love that line.
Yeah.
It was great.
It's really awesome.
Yeah.
I do think this is probably some of the best Johnny reacting mm-hmm. when David said, how did this happen? And he goes, I don't know. I don't know. Right. I absolutely
he tries
love
so
that.
Totally.
It's
yeah.
really, really great.
Yeah.
It's such a weird, innocent way to answer uh-huh. this question. But yeah. David,
it's like
right
what a
him.
Kid would say. It's yes. like when we ask our kid how yeah. something happens, and they're like, "I don't
know."
I don't know. Yeah, you know. Oh gosh, how did this drawing get on the carpet? I don't know.
We just had that. We just had a picture fall off the wall when we weren't here. And yeah. you asked our kids, and they're like, I don't know. I was in a different room, and it just fell.
I really don't think that had anything to do
I don't
with it,
think
though.
So either.
but yeah, no, it was very funny. It was like he was a little kid.
Yes. And I yeah. love how David ends this interaction.
It's like he's afraid of David.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah. But David ends this by saying, we will be canceling your account.
Right.
I think it's great.
It was super funny. Yeah, that was a cute
yep.
scene between
so
the two of
no
them.
No more pop-up or pop-on or pop-out stores.
No, yeah.
Nothing.
Nope.
Nothing in Johnny's
yeah.
future.
Yeah. But now we get to go not to the curling club.
Oh, I have missed
to the
vet's
office. I know. It was fun getting back to Mutt's barn, getting to the mm-hmm. vet's office. It was fun to see some of our old favorite places in
yeah,
this episode.
Yeah, it really is like a weird
little blast
another
from the past
tour of
yeah.
Schitt's Creek in this yeah. episode, all these old locations.
And it opens with Ted. He's having this
oh my God.
Adorably cute little pep talk.
Pep talk, you mean?
Pep talk, yep. pep talk. With all these dogs that are there, like, I guess staying at the vet's office because they're hoping to use them as the adoptable available dogs for singles week. But he's just having this cute little
yes.
conversation with them as Ted would because he's, mm-hmm. you know, this gentle little veterinarian soul.
Yeah. You know that caught on that camera, for as many times as he took his clothes off in front of those bunnies, he talked to them constantly.
Oh, totally. As many times as he took his clothes off in front of those bunnies. Oh, man. Oh, good times.
Yeah.
But yeah, and again, I feel like there's so many of these little, like, flashbacky kind of glimpses. Like, sure. How much have we seen him in that office, Alexis standing by that cabinet, mm-hmm. knocking on the cabinet almost, you know, yep. like, to get his attention. So we've seen this scene before. Mm-hmm. Sometimes where she's going in to break his heart. You know,
maybe more than once.
Yeah.
But yes.
But this time we see it totally different mm-hmm. because, of course, we've seen her growth.
Right. Exactly.
You know, so she kind of comes in and has her own little pup talk with him.
Yep. Yep.
But yeah, she kind of just says, you know, I've had a really hard time focusing on singles week because my mind's really been elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she basically professes her love for him. You know, she's yeah. like, I love you. I'm in love with you. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's really sweet too, because she says, you know, I know you're in a relationship and I'm really happy for you about that,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's a very like, not bratty Alexis kind of moment, you know,
no,
like
not
basically
bratty.
Saying, you know,
it's a lot to dump on Ted though. Like this
oh,
is a,
of course it is.
Especially,
yeah.
you know, given what has happened,
mm-hmm.
as you said, yeah. in this office multiple times,
right.
for her to now come in and say, look, I know you're with somebody. Maybe you're right. adopting a puppy together. We're
yeah.
not sure.
Yeah.
But this is how I feel.
Yeah. But again, like, no, Mutt no, opened right. her eyes to say, like, imagine what would have happened. And, you know, she's at the point, she's like,
no,
imagine
I'm,
what will happen
right.
if I don't
and I'm,
say something.
And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just
right.
saying
it's
that
a
from
lot
Ted's
for
point
him.
Of view, this is a lot for him because I'm sure that he's, you know, of course, been kind of feeling the same way, stuff like that. Like we've
right.
known
we've
this
seen
for
little glimpses.
Quite a while. I mean, more yeah. than little glimpses, but
yeah.
And you know, I almost feel like he's trying or has been trying to get to a point where
he
can kind of forget
past.
About her.
Of course.
Move on with,
and this
you know, maybe this stuff for
up.
Heather is going to end up working out.
Yeah.
And this is a crazy abrupt ending.
Well,
this.
Yeah. And it even, she, you know, she's like, I have to tell, I just had to tell you.
Yeah.
Like, you're the sweetest man that, and kind of like, that's it. You know, just wanted you to know. And then his response is kind of like, I don't even know what to say to that.
Yep.
Like, he doesn't have words to respond to her instantly. Because I'm sure it caught him somewhat off guard.
Oh, of course.
And, you know, she's like, no, you don't have to say anything. Maybe I can just take a puppy home. Like, right. and then it just shifts so quickly yes. to, like, a little comedy moment.
Yeah.
And everything. And, yeah. And then that's basically end credits. And
that
that's
is.
How it ends. So we get a really abrupt ending.
Yeah, they've been doing that a couple times this season where mm-hmm. it always used to end with, you know, they're back at the motel.
You love when it ends with the family and everybody's together. At the motel.
I kind of do.
Uh-huh.
I kind of do. But yeah. That's the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This is so great.
So the way that we end our episodes is that we are ranking.
Super abrupt. Talk
super
to you next
Super abrupt.
Week.
Bye, everybody.
No.
No. We rank our Schitt's Creek episodes from the best of the best of the best to the least best Schitt's
best
Creek
best.
Episodes. Mm-hmm. So, Carla, if this episode were a
jar of Ebola
hotel centerpiece, would it be a beautiful flower arrangement or like a vase
a pile
full
of poison oak?
Poison oak.
Oh, I like this episode a
okay.
lot.
I will show you your
list. I think it's a cute one.
List.
I kind of like the David Stevie moments.
Remember
I like
two
that
fingers.
Johnny's getting some funny things in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think even the little jury duty scene is fun. I want to put it up as
Take
my
your
new
time,
number because we have all died.
This is where
people
I cut out the pauses at this point in the podcast.
Oh, okay.
So
well,
don't
that's,
worry.
That's good to know. I'm going to put this as my new, oh my gosh, it's so hard, number 12.
Okay.
Right under Baby Sprinkle. It's
wow. Okay. Back to back episodes.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. I was debating whether I wanted it to be above Baby Sprinkle or below.
Uh-huh.
Like, I knew I kind of wanted it around it. I just wasn't sure which place.
All right. That's pretty high. We have been diverging on episodes recently. Ooh. I don't really like this episode that much.
Oh, I think this one's
fun. I don't. And this to me seems like a, I don't want to say a filler episode, but a really like, hey, we're leading up to something, everybody, and we just need something to pass the time. Moira, what are we going to have her do? I don't know. Let's get her out of town for a little while. Like, yeah, and I'm just not too crazy. I'm not saying that
that's fine. There you don't aren't have to be crazy.
Things. No. I'm not saying there aren't things happening that are interesting. Like I said, I think Johnny's got some great lines and stuff like that in this. It's this episode just doesn't do it for me. Mm-hmm. It is my new number 42.
Whoa.
So pretty low, right? Well, below Bob's Bagels. Wrong. All right. Okay.
Below Bob's Bagels?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Right
I'm
below.
Disappointed in
right
you.
Underneath.
We might have to get a divorce. This might be the end.
What are you talking about?
Bob's Bagels.
Any
Come
episode
on.
With Bob is better than any episode with Mutt. I'm going to say it.
Wow. Not that I just, there's so much like nice growth in this one and the David and Stevie and Johnny.
You just said I shouldn't feel bad about where I put this episode.
Okay.
All right. Well, everybody, you know what? We'll see if we can kind
maybe.
Of.
We might be talking to a judge for our divorce proceedings.
Yep.
Whoever thought a podcast would come between
know.
Us.
Yeah, when we're eventually talking to some marriage counselor, and she's like, what? This podcast did what to you? And the next question she'd ask is, why are you still doing it? And be like, well, I...
We have to finish
right,
this series.
We have five episodes left. I don't know how this is going to help. Anyway, so we will see if we're more in alignment when we come back 2 weeks from now, back on a regular bi-weekly schedule.
Yes.
When we discuss the 12th episode of season 4.
The finale of season
singles,
4.
Kind of. Merry Christmas.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll
but
talk
we
about.
We just worked out of order. So.
Right. Yeah. So if you're listening to this in real time and for whatever reason you missed it, we already did Merry Christmas, Johnny Rose. It's up. We put it out on Christmas Day. So go back and listen, but I will be reordering that stuff. I'll talk more about it after next episode. But that will be Singles Week, the quote-unquote finale of season 4. So until then, everybody, have a great 2 weeks.
Warmest regards.